Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi namadahu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudhillahu wa man yudlil fala hadiyalahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we ask Him for help. And we ask for His protection and we seek safety in Allah from the weakness in our own nafs, from the weakness in our own selves, and from the evil consequences of what we do. And whoever Allah guides, there is no one who can lead him or her astray. And whoever Allah finds in error, whoever Allah finds deviating, there is no one to guide him or her. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. We praise Allah and we witness that he is one. We witness that he is the creator of everything. We say he, but we know that Allah is neither a male or a female in the sense that we see human males and human females, or animal males and animal females. But we say he, but we know we cannot put Allah in the context of a human being that has a gender, he or she. We can't do that. But we know that Allah is he who created the heavens and the earth, and he is the master of all of the creation, and everything that exists is his creation. And he cares for his creation. And he has brought this creation called the human being to understand through his prophets and messengers that he alone is God. And we know that the best of the creation is the servants of Allah. We know that the best of the creation are his prophets and his messengers. And he has created man to be his servants, and he has created messengers from among his created people, the human beings. We know that Allah has sent angels to the messengers. They are messengers from Allah, but He has sent human messengers to the people. Allah says in the Quran, if the message was intended for angels, He would have sent angels to the people. But because the message was intended for the human family, He sent one of us that had been given the message from the angel. And so today our khutbah is going to deal with Allah's mercy, two portions of Allah's mercy. But before we begin, we want to read from the Holy Quran. We want to read something concerning taqwa. Allah says to us in the Holy Quran, A'udhu billahi min shaitani rajim. Bismillahi rahmani rahim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Taqullaha haqqa tuqatih. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O believers, O you who believe, have taqwa for Allah. Be careful of your duty to Allah. Be conscious always of your responsibility and obligation to Allah, to obey Allah, to serve Allah with the care which is due to Him, and do not die unless you are Muslim. In other words, do not die unless you are in obedience and submission to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah also says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadidan yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yuti' Allaha wa rasuluhu faqad faza fawzan azim. Again, this is addressed to the believers. O you who believe, have taqwa for Allah. Be careful of your duty to Allah. Be conscious always of your duty to Allah, your responsibility to serve and obey Allah. And speak the right word. Speak the truth. Speak the right word. And He would put your deeds into a right state for you, and He would forgive you your faults. And whoever obeys Allah and His Rasul, he indeed achieves a mighty success. In the past, we've elaborated on the meaning of that ayat, but today we won't. You've heard the elaboration we gave before, but we want to get on into our subject, and we don't want to take up too much time away from our subject, because we know you don't have much time, so we're going to try to make it as brief as possible, but want to cover this. This particular subject, this particular khutbah, actually was a gift to me and others by my sheikh. His name is and was Imam Wadithuddin Muhammad. He's deceased now. He died about 10 years ago, but for 33 years he was my primary teacher in Al-Islam, and I want to share this with you. Because it's got a lot of meaning for us, especially today in the troubled times in which we're living today. And so, when we say that Allah created man to be His servants and messengers, and He did, He created all human beings to be His servants. And from those servants, He selected messengers to teach the people who had gone astray so that the people could get back on the right path. And we know that the best of the Rasuls, at least the one that was the most complete in relationship to having the, we could say, the biggest job, all of them, we don't make distinctions between them, but we know that different messages were sent to specific groups of people. But we know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to all of the people of all time, of all places, all humanity. And He was also given the responsibility to demonstrate in every way The best way to serve Allah in marriage, in business, in politics, in military leadership, and just in general. He was given many roles so he could demonstrate through his sunnah the best way to receive the blessings from Allah, to serve Allah. He was given to us as a model for our human and our Muslim behavior. But not only is he given to us, but Allah Most High says in his book, the Quran, that whoever believes in God and the last day, whoever believes in God and the last day, certainly has in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam an excellent model. So that's very important that we understand that, because, you know, many of our Christian brothers and friends and relatives, many of us who came into Islam here in America, we have Christian relatives. We have Christian members of our families. And because they are not familiar with Islam, and we approach them with what we believe in, they may not accept it readily because that's not what they were taught. And most people begin to get taught about the religion of their parents when they're little children. Oftentimes, I remember as a child, my mother would, or grandmother would kneel me down before going to bed and tell me to pray that I would have a good sleep and wake up and be safe in the morning. And I would see my grandmother, particularly my grandmother, praying, and sometimes she would have her lady friends over to the house, and they would be reading the scripture called the Bible, and they would pray as a child. And so because we are given this type of introduction to religion as children, but the religion we're given is Christianity. So many of us have to deal with the Christians, but we can still tell the Christians that the best model that God has given for humanity, for the service to God by humanity, is in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, how can we say this? Because many of them will say, well, what about Jesus Christ? Because that's who they uphold as being the model. We say, yes, Jesus Christ is a very, very good model. But we can't look at the life of Jesus Christ, at least what we've been given, and know how to deal with our wives and our family. We cannot look at the life of Jesus Christ and be able to know how to deal with our business partners or business associates. We cannot look at the life of Jesus Christ and know how to deal with our soldiers if we are military officers. But we can look at Prophet Muhammad, and we can not only see those examples, but we can see examples for every aspect of life. And that's why we should invite our non-Muslim friends at least study the life of Prophet Muhammad, so you'll be able to have this guidance that God has given us through the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. And then hopefully, they will come to understand that the pure book, the book that's not being tampered with, the book that doesn't have any ambiguity, which means unclearness. This is our bayana. This book is clear. It tells you clearly what's right, and it tells you clearly what's wrong. It tells us what we must do to please Allah and what we must not do. Whereas if we depend on the Bible, as much good as there is in the Bible, we'll see good people doing things that God tells us clearly not to do. And we will wonder why these people that are God's messengers and prophets not doing what God said. Somebody inserted that falsehood into the Bible to be able to justify them doing things that they know they should not be doing. And then they can say, well, David, he took a man's wife, or this person lied, or that person did this, so that they will be able to get some degree of comfort in their wrongdoing. And that's why they keep doing wrong, because they don't feel they have to do right. But Prophet Muhammad never had it recorded anywhere he did anything that was displeasing to God. So he is the model that even they should be looking at, so they can stay on the straight path and not be going all off deviating. Because for every deviation, there's going to be what? a penalty. It may not be the ultimate penalty. It may not be the penalty of the hellfire. If we repent, then Allah says we will be able to be forgiven. But don't think if you do something wrong that God is not going to give you a penalty. Because just the feeling that you are displeasing to God and your conscience, unless you kill your conscience and become a devil in your soul, your conscience is going to penalize you. Your self-accusing spirit is going to make you feel bad if you have a conscience when you do wrong. I don't care if it's a little bit of wrong. I'll give you a little example of something that happened to me. We won't be very long today. I belong to an organization that does a lot of good work in the community, especially in helping people that have problems with their eyes. And so what we do, we collect eyeglasses. People leave eyeglasses up at the hospital and they transfer and they never go pick up the glasses that they had been given a prescription for. So the glasses sit there. So rather than allow these glasses to be thrown in the dumpster, in the garbage, my organization goes up there, we pick up these glasses, and doctors check the glasses and they write out what the prescription on the glasses is, but the military glasses usually have the paper with the glasses, so the doctor doesn't have to do that. And then what we do is we go to different countries where they don't have a lot of money for the people to buy glasses, and we have doctors that go and they examine the eyes of the people, and when they see what the deficiency is and what the prescription needs to be, we'll find some glasses in the group of glasses and match them with the individual. And so I was assigned several years ago to store the glasses, and then we will take them and turn them in where they can be distributed. And so last week, as I was working on separating the glasses and putting them in boxes, I came across a gold ring. I don't believe it was a real diamond. It could have been, but I'm not a jeweler, so I couldn't tell. But it was a pretty ring. And, you know, I like rings. I'm not going to tell you I don't like rings. Normally, you're going to see me with the ring on my hand. But I looked at this ring, and I said, this is a ring that somebody put in with the glasses they gave away that may belong or have belonged to somebody in their family, that maybe the person may have died, but the ring may have been something that they loved and that their family would like to have. They'd like to be able to treasure. This belonged to my father, my grandfather, my brother. And I said, well, it certainly doesn't belong to me. I didn't buy the ring. I just happened to find the ring among these glasses. I said, so I have an obligation to see that the ring gets back to the owner. I said, not only would I feel guilty wearing the gold ring, because Muslim men, we really are discouraged. The hadith is not real strong, but it's strong enough for me where I feel uncomfortable wearing a gold ring, because Prophet Muhammad, he told his followers, that's a long story we won't go into, that he didn't want them to be wearing gold rings. It's not haram in the sense of that if you was to do something like drink alcohol, but still, you know, when the prophet discourages something, we should try to stay away from it, right? Even if it's a weak hadith, we should measure it and say, well, would the prophet be wearing it? Well, the prophet didn't wear the gold ring. After that, he realized his followers were getting overwhelmed with the idea of going out buying gold rings. He stopped wearing the gold ring. It wasn't that the gold ring was forbidden by the Quran, because he wore it for a while. But when he saw that people were getting too excited about wearing these gold rings, and they were taking money, and they were all trying to compete getting a gold ring, he said, no, he said, it's just like fire in my hand. And he threw it down. And, you know, somebody picked up and says, why would you pick up something that the prophet threw down? So that keeps me from being flashy wearing gold rings. So I was thinking, I said, this gold ring looks pretty on my finger, but I can't keep it. And even if I was allowed to keep it, would I really feel comfortable wearing it? You see? So I took it in and turned it in to one of the officers in the organization. And once I got it in his hand, my conscience was clear. But if I had held on to that gold ring, or especially if I had taken it and started wearing it and flashing it, my conscience would have punished me. And that's my point, that we have, those of us that believe in God, we have a spirit that God has placed in everybody, but those of us who believe in God, that spirit is strong enough to punish us if we deviate. And so Allah has blessed us with an example to show us how not to deviate, so we don't have to walk around feeling guilty. Because I always think about this. I try to measure my life. I try to measure my behavior. And we all should do this. I'm not trying to put myself up as an example. I'm just sharing this with you. I try to measure my life by asking myself, if I was walking, or if I was sitting, or if I was around Prophet Muhammad, and I thought about doing something, and I saw him confronted with the same temptation or the same opportunity, what would he do? What would he do? And then I try to do what he would do. Because Allah tells us in the Quran that he is the best example that God gave to mankind. So if we follow what he would do, we know that we will be blessed like he was blessed. And what was his blessing? His blessing was that he was pleasing always to Allah. And that's the greatest achievement, to know that we are pleasing always to Allah. If we can live a life where every day we can close out that day saying that today I have pleased Allah because I did what Allah commanded and I avoided what he forbade, and go to sleep at night. You know, because we are told that sleep is the sister of death. Obviously, none of us have died. We wouldn't be here if we had died. This is not a funeral parlor where they have dead people laying there. So we have not died, but we sleep at night, and Allah allows the angel to put our souls to rest in almost a sleep of death state. And then he rises us up throughout the night or in the morning to start again. But the fact of the matter is that every night we should go to bed. Before we go to bed, we should ask Allah. We should say, Allah, have I pleased you today? Or have I displeased you today? And our own self-accusing spirit will answer that for us and say, you please Allah, but in this one case, you could have done better. And we should make our niyyah then that we won't be weak the next time we have opportunity. And if we do that, gradually we will become more and more like our Prophet Muhammad, inshallah. Rabbana atina fi dunya حسن تام وفي الأكلات حسن تام وكيد الدابينا ربنا أفرج لنا سبحان وتعالى كمان من سنة لا كام كافرين ربنا لا تزيد قلوبنا بعد تدينا وهب لنا من لدك دك ركبتنا نكان تواهب استغفر الله استغفر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Dear Muslims, Allah tells us in the Holy Quran, and I give you this in the English interpretation. One day, inshallah, my ability to recite the Quran in Arabic will be much better, and then I won't hesitate to give you the Arabic. But I don't want to make a mistake. One thing I learned when I was studying Arabic is that the slightest intonation, the slightest even elongation of the vowels can make a difference in the meaning of what you're saying. And so if the word says bilahi and you say bilahi, you're not saying what is intended to be understood by the people. Because that difference in the pronunciation can make a difference in the meaning. Some people may not think that's serious. But you who speak Arabic, you understand how serious it is to correctly pronounce every single letter, every single vowel. And so I don't want to make a mistake. And that's not an excuse, because trust me, I do plan to improve, and inshallah one day I will be there where I want to be in reciting the Quran. But in the meantime, I'm going to give you this interpretation. And it says here in the Holy Quran, and this is in this surah that's in interpreted as say victory. Victory. This is the 58th surah in the Quran. It says to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's addressed to him. It says, "We have sent you." This is Allah speaking to Muhammad. "We have sent you as a witness, shahidan, as a witness, shahid or shahidan, as a witness, and as a bearer of good tidings, mubashir wa nasira, a witness and a bearer of good tidings." Good tidings means good news. And what is the good tidings? What is the good news? But also as a warner, nasira, as a warner. So as a mubashir and as a nasira. Witness to be a bearer of good news and to give the warning. What is the good news and what is the warning? That you, meaning the people, that the people, mankind, may believe in Allah and His Messenger and may honor Him and may revere, meaning give Him highest respect. Who are they talking about now? We're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the next thing it says, and may glorify Him. So we're not talking about Prophet Muhammad now. We're talking about respecting Prophet Muhammad. We're talking about glorifying Allah at the early dawn, which is Fajr, and at the close of the day, which is the close of the day. Actually, technically, we could say that it's Maghrib, but the day is not over at Maghrib, just the light in the day, but the day is over at the Easter time. That's when we say to finish the day, because we may still be working after Maghrib. So our day is not over. But it says that those who swear allegiance to you, this is Bayah. Bayah was when you pledge your allegiance. Those who swear allegiance to you, talking about Muhammad, they swear allegiance only to Allah. So when we pledge to follow the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad, we're pledging to obey Allah, because His Sunnah is the exemplification, is the practice of what Allah has commanded in the Quran. So when we follow His Sunnah, we're following what Allah has given Him to give us. And He says that the hand of Allah, now we know that Allah does not have physical hands. We know that Allah does not have physical feet. We know that Allah does not have a physical head or physical shoulders or physical legs. We cannot put Allah, and this is something that we have to understand, because there are a lot of people, I know people, that don't understand this. And part of what I feel Allah has tasked me with is to help them understand this, that Allah is greater than our intellectual ability to be able to visualize Him. He has not given us this power. Now it says that in the Akira, okay, after the day of judgment, after the day of Yamul Qiyam, and the judgment, that the true believers that Allah has allowed to enter into the Jannah, that they will be able to see the wise of Allah. But you won't see it like you see another human being, because there is no such thing. So when we say we'll be able to see the wise of Allah, what do we say? We will be able to see in totality, or as much as our preparation, because there'll be different levels. You know, people are not going to be all on the same level. So the prophets and the messengers, they'll be able to see more clearly than somebody that maybe they were good most of the time, but they deviated some of the time, but they got into a general. A lot of balanced it out, and they had enough where they were good enough to get into general. But the prophets and messengers, their ability to see the watchful eye clearly is going to be higher because they earned it. But what are we saying? We're not saying to see a physical face with eyes. We're talking about to be able to see, to experience, to be able to connect with, to communicate with the attributes of Allah, those 99 attributes. We'll be able to understand those attributes more clearly. We'll be able to experience those attributes. One of the attributes is As-Salam. What does it mean? Peace. That when we are able to see that attribute of Allah, we can experience peace like we never could imagine here. Because all of the things that destroy our peace will have been removed. So that's what we need to understand. Not to be thinking we're going to see a man's face. Mm-mm. But when we say the hand of Allah, what do we mean? What we're meaning is that the authority of Allah, all right? I could leave it like that, but I'll take it one step further. We're talking about the unificating power, the unifying power of Allah. You see, the hand is a unified organ of the body. Why do we say that? Because it allows us to bring things to the body, to unite things with the body. When we, as married men, when we grasp our wife to give her a hug, we're uniting our, well, we used to do that. We reach out to her with our hands. All right, just to give you a little example. Same with our little babies. We want to bring our baby into our person. We reach out with our hands. So Allah's hand is over the believers. So not only is that demonstrating authority over the believers, which he created us, but it's also bringing us in closer to him. His hand is over the community of the believers. It says the hand of Allah is over their hands. Who hands are we talking about? Those who have given bi'ah to Prophet Muhammad and have sworn allegiance to him and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then, we close with this. Allah says, whoever breaks his pledge, whoever betrays his pledge, whoever breaks his oath, whoever rebukes, we have a word in English, just something you may remember, renege, R-E-N-E-G-E, I believe it is. Renege means to turn against, to betray, to not fulfill what you promise. Renege. Whoever breaks or violates his promise to Allah, he says, Allah says he breaks it only for his own soul's hurt. When we don't obey Allah, when we turn against our Deen al-Fitr's created commitment to obey our Creator, because when we are created, Allah puts in our nature, what's called our Deen al-Fitr, a commitment to obey him. That's a pledge that our soul makes when we are created, that we will obey the Creator. And when we turn against that, Allah says we're only doing it to our own detriment. We're only hurting ourselves. We're not hurting Allah, not at all, but we're hurting ourselves. And he says that whoever keeps his pledge with Allah, on him and on her, will Allah bestow an immense reward. So we close on that note. Because Allah's mercy was given to us through his Rahmah and his Rahim. He's bestowed on us all of the wonderful things that any creature could ever imagine. And above those things, he's given us an intellect to be able to create worlds within the worlds, to give us comfort, to give us pleasure. And his hand is over those who use that intellect to serve and worship him. And he's given us mercy just by allowing us to breathe this air, to be able to experience some rain so it won't be so dry that we have dust that's getting in our system causing us to have lung disease. So many things. We won't go into all of them now because they can go on for many, 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 many goodbyes about the beautiful things that Allah has given us to show His mercy. But we do want to end on this note. And I ask you all, there's only four of us here today. We used to have like 25 and 30 for June. I ask you all to encourage the other believers to come here. Not to hear Brother Musa. I may not always be here. I may not always be the Katia. I've been assigned to be the Katia because I volunteered that I would do it until somebody more qualified arrived. Because I love to sit down and learn from somebody more qualified as the teacher than I am. Just a good student. You don't want to teach when you got a better teacher to teach you. But in the meantime, I said yes until somebody better qualified than me comes among us to do it and is willing to be regular, is willing to come rain or shine every Friday, at least every Friday, I will do it. But you and I have an obligation to the rest of the people, whether they're Muslims or Christians, Jews or whatever, to make sure that on this military post, that this book is promoted, that this book is revealed, that this book is announced, that this book is read, that this book is preached about on this post. We have a responsibility to do that, brother. I don't care where a Muslim goes. The first responsibility is to submit oneself to Allah, la ilaha illallah, and Muhammad Rasulullah. And the second responsibility is to make the salat. We have a responsibility to establish the salat wherever we go, whether it's in America, whether it's in Jordan, whether it's in Egypt, whether it's in Nigeria, whether it's in Afghanistan. Wherever we go, we have a responsibility on Friday, at least on Friday, but not just Friday, but we're saying at least on Friday, to come together in Jamaat and establish the salat wherever we are. Not to leave where we are and go somewhere else and leave where we are without salat. That's not being a good soldier. You're going to leave your post because you heard the general is over there on the hill and you want to go see the general and your post is left unguarded. That's what we do when we don't come here. We're leaving this post unguarded. Because as long as Islam is being preached on this base, guess what? Allah will bless this base. Allah will save this base. Allah will allow a way out for those people that are caught up in all of the distractions and all of the deviations and all of the wrongdoing that they're being invited to, because at least there's opportunity for them to come and get healing. Whether they come or not, the opportunity is here. And the fact that we are making it possible, not only will it bring Hasana to us, but it'll bring Hasana to the people of this base. Let us stop doing this. Let us stop having Juma on this base. And guess what? You're going to see more sexual abuse. You're going to see more fighting and killing. You're going to see more people hurting each other. You're going to see more military officers and non-commissioned officers abusing each other than you ever saw before. Trust me. Because where Allah's message is being preached, Allah's hand is over the people. But you let this stop and Allah will remove His hand. And who's going to come in when Allah removes His hand? The enemy of mankind, the shaitan. And the shaitan is a spirit that can get in even the best of people without Allah's protection. So we have responsibility. We are the guards. We have to stay on our post. So inshallah, let us not fail. And you all are here, so this message really is not for you. It's for those who are not here. But you can give the message. What did the prophet say the last time that he preached to them at the Hajj, at the end of the Hajj? He said, those who are not here, take this to those. Those who are here, take this to those who are not here. So I implore you, please take this to those who are not here, that we need to keep this going. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. We're going to ask our brother Muhammad from Egypt to be the imam today.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah. Come, sir. Brother.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه، هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون، والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون، أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون. ختم الله على قلوبهم وعلى سمعهم وعلى أبصارهم غشاوة، ولهم عذاب عظيم. الله سمع الله من حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر وما هم بمؤمنين، يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون، في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا، ولهم عذاب أليم بما كانوا يكذبون. وإذ قيل لهم آمنوا كما آمن الناس قالوا ونؤمن كما آمن السفهاء، ألا إنهم هم السفهاء ولكن لا يشعرون. وإذ قيل لهم لا تفسدوا في الأرض قالوا إنما نحن مصلحون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.